Genesis 40 and verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. We have been considering in our Old Testament survey, the book of Genesis, we're looking at the subject, Joseph, a man, and we emphasize a man in God's redemptive plan. Chapter 40 begins with two individuals who offended the king of Egypt. Now, this is something that you don't do. He was the leading king in the known world, the sovereign, the supreme in the world. And right away, we know where this is going. And if you don't know, you're not studying, you're not listening. Why would God record this historical event for us? Well, it's because the information, when understood, shows the sovereignty of God in salvation, as well as the responsibility of the Lord's people to show others that salvation. That's what Joseph did to the two prisoners. Joseph was in prison unfairly. We know this. But he was able to describe the fate of two prisoners. One was restored, the other was condemned. That's the church. As we sit here, you and I are in one of these positions. I don't know you that well, but that's you today. You're either condemned before God or you're restored to life. You must know where you stand with God. And as we go on, we will see some things in this book. This is the gospel. The two kinds of people in the church and in the world. There are four kinds of people, like some people say, the two kinds of people. The gospel is proclaimed in the hearing of all. But God is pleased to open the eyes of those whom he wills. We have a responsibility to believe and to proclaim this gospel in the way we live and the way we preach. Now, circumstances, I've just given you a briefing. Circumstances should not hinder the Lord's people, the Lord's servant, from being faithful. Look at Joseph in prison, terrible place. He brought the gospel. You may say he interpreted dreams. No, he brought the gospel. If you were to interpret this dream of Joseph without the benefit of Joseph's interpretation, you would come to the same conclusion. The butler gave Pharaoh the grapes. He pressed them into his cup. The Pharaoh absorbed the wrath of God for the butler. That's what it is. And you know what that typifies. The butler was set free. The birds picked those things off of the baker's head. Terrible. He was condemned. Judging from the historical context of our message, Joseph was probably in his early 20s. Young man. Sold as a slave at 17. Worked for Potiphar a short time. Now he's bound in prison. We begin with the first head, the two prisoners. I read the text. It came to pass after these things, the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. After these things, namely Joseph sold as a slave in Egypt. After that, after the ordeal with Potiphar's wife, after the ordeal in him sitting in prison, after these things. But wherever Joseph found himself, the Lord was with him. We read in Genesis 39, verse 21 through 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. What a young man. Wherever he goes, we read this epitaph. A faithful man. Would to God that we were faithful in the church. Would to God we were like this man. You see some come and you see them go and you see them come again and they're unfaithful. I spoke to a young man today about being unfaithful. We should be faithful, Theo, to God because he's good to us. As we continue to consider the two prisoners, historically it seemed that every misfortune Joseph encountered, there was an abiding presence with him. The psalmist says these words, and you are familiar with this psalm. This psalm was quoted by Satan to Jesus, but it has an application to us also. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample on the feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. As I said, Satan misquoted these words in an attempt to trip up the Lord Jesus. But these words in the Psalms are appropriate to those who have trusted the Savior. He protects us. God will never lead his people where his grace cannot keep them. God will never lead you in a place, whether it be the hospital, wherever it is your prison cell may be, where his grace cannot keep you, as he was with Joseph. He wouldn't be with his people. The problem with many today is that they run ahead of the Lord and expect to succeed instead of experience the joy of Christian life. They experience the grief of this world. Pleasures are there, but for a season. Verse 2 and 3 goes on, Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. He put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard of Potiphar, into the prison, place where Joseph was bound. Joseph was there. Immediately, we think of the cross, don't we? But I wouldn't go there. These two prisoners are in good company, but they do not know Joseph is a Hebrew. He is a covenant son. God's promises, as I was saying this morning, are vested in him. He's a direct son of Abraham. He's a son of Jacob, a beloved son of Jacob. He was sent by God to Egypt for a purpose. Joseph didn't know this. And sometimes when God does things in our lives, we don't know he have a purpose. We fight against him. I'll read something to you again from the psalmist. Psalm 105, turn there with me. Quickly, beginning at verse 17. It's an excellent commentary on God's purpose for Joseph. There we read in Psalm 105, verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters or chain. Now you know how Joseph was. His feet were chained. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. You see who was trying Joseph? You see who was trying him? It wasn't Pharaoh. It wasn't Potiphar's wife. It was the Lord. Same thing with you and me. We blame the wrong people. Verse 20, the king sent and loose him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. Made him lord over his house, ruler over his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure, and teach his senators wisdom. It's a commentary on the life of this man. He didn't know these things, but we know them. Joseph's going to Egypt, his suffering, was the Lord's doings. At times, some attitudes that we see in suffering manifest the spiritual state of people. Here in our text, the two prisoners are in good company. At times, sometimes we can be in good company and don't even know that we are in good company. We don't know. Remember Peter talked about this, how the Lord went and preached to prisoners in spirit. And I remember one time this brother asked me, we were writing together, we were at the conference, and he said he'd come to that part in the Bible and he couldn't understand it. And who am I to help this man with this text? But 1 Peter 3:18 and 19, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, this is a very controversial text. Our brother is here with us. I don't know how he look at it. But many people get tantalized with this text and say that Jesus went to a place of the departed spirits when he was crucified. Now, there's nowhere in the Bible that teach this idea that Jesus went and preached to spirits in prison. There's nowhere in the Bible that I read that. What we fail to understand is that every unsaved person is in prison. And this is the place where the Lord meets all of us, in the prison cell of sin, bondage. That's where he preached to us, in our state of misery, in our adultery, in our fornication, in our greed, in our bitterness. That's where Christ meets us, in prison. He came to set the prisoners free. And I was one of those prisoners, bound up in my sin. But the beautiful thing of salvation, about salvation, is that the Lord set the prisoners free. What is it that is controlling you tonight, quietly? What is it? Who is it that is controlling you? Is it anger? The Lord can set us free. This is a beautiful text. God sent Joseph, or God sent the prisoners where Joseph was bound. The two of these prisoners were under the wrath of the king. And today, as many people have become comfortable under the wrath of God. And I find that some of us make them even more comfortable. Never a word related to the gospel. Never a Bible verse is quoted to them. We're making them comfortable. We'd rather see them go to hell than to make them unhappy. It's not right. But we're told that these two prisoners were uneasy. They were sad. And this is the state that sin leaves us in. Sad. No joy. Yeah, we think we got joy. Sad. Joseph saw that they were sad. Anybody who was supposed to be sad was Joseph. Second thing we observe is that there's a moral and a practical application to make quickly of these two prisoners. These two prisoners were in high office. They were very close to Pharaoh. I don't know if you know this. I believe some of you do based on your reading. I like what Matthew Henry said. He said, high places are slippery places. James warned, let not many be teachers, for we will receive greater damnation, for in many things we offend. The word is used in the King James Bible, let not many be masters, but the word is really teachers, pastors, teachers of the Bible, are in high places. And sometimes we better make sure that we are not under the wrath of God, offending our master. In how we live, in our private lives, in our public lives, and what we say. Sometimes we come here and we're talking out of both sides of our mouths. Those who teach the word must be first to obey the word at home and abroad. My wife may accuse me of many things, but she cannot accuse me of being an ungodly man and an ungodly husband to her. She can't. One of the grave dangers today is many teaching the word are not doing the word. They are offending their master. Like these two. There's always room for repentance. So that I show you the two prisoners, and I show you secondly the message they received quickly. The message received was in the form of dreams. The message was a mystery to both of them. When reading this dream, I said without Joseph's exposition, it could be understood when comparing scripture with scripture. You can understand it. I told you what the pressing of the grapes in Pharaoh's cup symbolized. The cup is used in the Bible as the wrath of God. Pharaoh had a cup. And the grapes were pressed in to get the juice. We read in verses 5 through 8 quickly. Genesis 40, come with me. And they dream a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? They said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, doth not interpretation belong to God? Tell me then, I pray you, the dreams. That's the text. The two things I have to say quickly about these dreams. Dreams in those days were a means of divine revelation. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, he couldn't understand it. Who did he get to interpret? Today, God does not speak this way anymore. If you dream something, forget it. Dismiss it quickly. I don't care how good it sounds. It has no value in it. Maybe you ate too much the day before. Whatever God has to say to man is in the Bible. We come out of cultures that we believe nonsense. So let me square that away. Second, just as these dreams were a mystery to the two prisoners with Joseph, the gospel is a mystery to the unsaved. The gospel is a mystery to the unbeliever. Can't figure it out. Don't understand it. Can't apply it. Would not listen to it. Many in the church may be hearing the Bible proclaimed clearly, expounded, faithfully, but cannot connect the dots. Seem like nonsense. Can't do it. Wouldn't do it. Speak to people all the time. Nothing happens. Mystery. Cannot find a place in their lives to apply the gospel. The gospel is a mystery. Even the servants of God at times who are bringing the gospel may be a mystery. To some of you can't figure out their lives. What makes them tick? Why are they the way they are? Why are such a big fuss about missions? Why such time consumed on study? Traveling with the gospel. Mystery. What he said, you're wasting so much money going down there. Are you going to take your daughter out of school to take her down there? And Dion was down there for 3 months with us. You're crippling the young girl's life. Mystery. Some of us think that way. Oh, send my son to college to train for the gospel. Mystery. Gospel. Unsaved. Mystery. Joseph rightly said in verse 8, let's move on. Do not interpretation belong to God? Tell them to me, I pray you. Tell me the dreams. It's not arrogance. Interpretation of the scriptures and the application of the scriptures come through the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's right. When you and I find it difficult to understand the Bible, do not go to the sorcerers. Go to God. Open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things out of thy law. Go again and again and again. If you have the Holy Spirit, he unfolds the mystery of the gospel to us. So far we have seen two prisoners. I showed you some implications and applications out of these prisoners. We saw the message receive, mystery. We see thirdly, the mystery reveal. Wonderfully, Joseph exegeted both dreams correctly, and I said this already. The butler was restored to his office. The baker was hanged. I guess Brother Colin may be sitting there remembering that night in Shinui. He said yes. Young man, I was in a house with a family, and they asked us to open up the Bible. Long, long, long ago, I think it was maybe Brother Colin's first trip. He was seeing firsthand, impromptu speaking, preaching. They asked me to open the Bible, and this was the passage I went to. In the living room of this man and showing the butler and the baker and his family, and then ask the man, which one are you? Joseph exegeted both dreams correctly. And a faithful man of God will bring both sides of the gospel. Not one side, both sides. This love message that some bring is not the gospel. It is only part of the gospel. God offers free grace to the sinner, but there is a hell that awaits those who rebel against it. Miriam, we pray for your daughter. Angela can tell you what I say in English. We pray for your daughter. We know your pain. But you must pray. Because as she sit in that prison, your prayer can deliver her. You can be Joseph. Joseph, having predicted the restoration of the chief butler, said to him in verse 14 and 15, "But think of me when it shall be well with you, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here, that they should put me into this dungeon." Now this is the first time we sense any discouragement by Joseph. He's a man. He's discouraged. He's unfairly treated. He says, "Think of me, for I was stolen away from my home, and I've done nothing, that they should put me in this dungeon." You can sense the trauma in this man. And you can sense the tremor of Jesus on the cross as he cried, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" As a man, he suffered. But as God, he suffered for you and for me. Joseph is human. And here we see his humanity, where he fell short. He up to this point, he doesn't understand that God is working all things out after the counsel of his will. And even when he gets to the end of the rope, at the end of the day, he said, "You thought it for evil, but God meant it for good." God opened his eyes. As you open yours. I look at this and I say, Joseph buckled for the first time. And sometimes you see great men buckle under the heat of pressure. But God is there. Brother, he's there. You and I, the best of men, cannot be compared with our Lord. And some of us don't seem to think that pastors have feelings. Cold shoulder, trample upon many times. You ain't got no feelings. Treat them anyway. Joseph Buckle. Think of me when it be well with you. But we know the story. When the butler got back his job in Pharaoh's house and his position, Joseph was a foregone conclusion. And that's an application that we can make. God gave us a job. A little success. As I mentioned this morning. And we pay lip service. We forget him. Oh boy. Oh boy. There's some people that are right on my heart. I call no names in this church. Right here. No wonder the high priest, Brother Pastor Scholar, the high priest had the 12 tribes of Israel engraved upon his ephod that he can bring them to the throne. And the people of God in the church are right here. And any minister as Pastor Martin says, the piper, he that preaches to his people more than he prays for his people is a sorry watchman. Or what we read in the bulletin today, for instance, a minister may fill his pews, his communion role, the mouths of the public, but what that minister is on his knees in secret before God Almighty, that he is and more. And this is true of every Christian. You may be popular in the eyes of your peers, but what are you by yourself? What are you by yourself? Think of me. And some Christians cannot handle prosperity. As I said earlier, job can change the whole landscape of their lives and their relationship with God. New family, little success in the USA, the good old USA, has caused many to forget Jesus. Think of me. Let it be well with you and bring me out of this dungeon. And some of you still have Christ in the dungeon. He's the risen Savior. Think of how we live. When the mystery is revealed, we should be thankful. Apostle Paul calls the gospel a mystery. He says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, wherein is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which have been hid from the ages, from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints. Not everybody in the church. The mystery is made manifest to his saints, his people, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, as we come to the conclusion, if we read this historical information with Joseph and the two prisoners, where he interpreted their dreams accurately, and that is all we get out of the passage, we have missed the message of the Bible. We ain't understand it. We haven't applied it. When we harmonize this historical event, it's practical as well as the gospel message in it. In the practical message, we see that there was a purpose for God sending Joseph to prison. Our circumstances are in God's hands. He's control of providence. He's God. It is one of God's ways in working out his redemptive plan. In his providence, he brought Joseph into prison. Circumstances will come our way to show that we are not in control. We think we are, and we like to control people too. God worked things out in our lives for his purpose. I remember, if I may use this personal testimony, but I thought about it in preparing this message. I remember in our second visit to Zimbabwe, we were in transit in a place called Bulgaria. It is a communist country ruled by the junta, where the military government, we had no clue what we were doing, where we were going. They took our passports. They just took them away. And every time I go for them, sit down. Machine guns, AK-47s. Go and sit down. We waited, and we waited for a connecting flight, hungry. The bathroom, it's like, I can't tell you what, the restaurant, that the little monkey restaurant they had there, I don't even know if you can get a cold Coke. We became very agitated, me, Marcel, and Dion. Dion began crying. Never saw anything like it. I'm now trying to be strong and not crying, Marcel. She got tears too. She probably remembered this very well. But we sat there for hours. Many others were in the same state. We met one guy from Kiev who was incarcerated and just released. This is the people I was among. I gave him a Bible. Good Bible too. I just handed to him. Right there, incarcerated. While there, we met a lady named Colette Chirimba, who lived in Harare. She was on her way to Harare. She worked at Seamus Medical Center on Jason Moyo Avenue. Still remember Colette today. Sweet girl. Took a photo with her. Later, Colette, Marcel, and I, and Dion became good friends. Very good friends. We stayed 1 year in Colette's sister Charlene apartment in Santosa. You remember that, Marcel? Roaches everywhere in the kitchen. But she gave us her apartment for a whole month. We conduct church services in that apartment. Out of a bad situation. You see what happened. Up to this day, whenever we passed there, we would look. And that's the place we stayed and had the Bible study and the church services. Wherever you go, wherever I go, I think gospel. I think church. And some of us, wherever we go, we think party. Colette, obviously, is not there anymore. She has migrated to the United Kingdom. Sometimes, as I said, out of bad situations, friendships are developed and the gospel is advanced. When a person is yielded to God's will, there is no telling where he will lead them by way of providence. The problem is many of you are not taking advantage of these providential contacts. We are all about pleasure on ourselves, not the church, not the gospel. I give you that example as a witness stays there and sees and hears what I'm saying, that it is true. But there's a second truth to consider, not only that practical one, but there's a serious one. Today, you and I stand in the midst of the suffering Savior. Oh yes, he is now exalted on high. But the cross is placed before us in preaching as Joseph stood there bound with those two prisoners. Week after week, we labor here in doctrine. Week after week, we labor in doctrine. And you stand in the midst of the crucified, suffering Savior, who is unfairly treated, poked fun at. Maybe you are one that is mistreating him. But you stand, and he's pleased to be here. And today, you and I stand condemned because of our sins. We have offended God. Back in those days, you could not offend Pharaoh and escape. You know that. He was ruthless. What do you think about the God of heaven that we offend in thought, in word, and in deed? And some of us literally spit in his face, the Lord Jesus. We offend him. We offend his ministers. Offend him in word and tongue. Offend him. by mistreating His holy word. The day we stand in His presence, and one that is greater than Joseph is with us. We all hear His word, the word of God. But the word of God has become a mystery to many of us. It is explained, but it is a mystery. Just as Joseph was innocent of doing wrong, the Lord Jesus, who Joseph typifies, was innocent. Three times Pilate said, "I found no fault in this man." The two thieves, one said, dost thou not fear God, seeing that we are in the same condemnation? But this man have done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. Two kinds of people. Jesus is in the midst of two kinds of people. Always like that. Always will be like that. This is the gospel. Joseph could not make sense of why he was in prison. But God has shown us in His word, and that's why the whole Bible must be taken into account when we are studying the Bible, lest we make mistakes. He couldn't make sense of it. He buckled. But later, he was able to say to his brothers, "Am I in the place of God?" "Yes, you were. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive." That's Christ, the cross, before us. Joseph did not merely interpret their dreams. As I said, dreams don't mean anything today. They're not to be taken seriously. But Joseph brought divine revelation to the butler and the baker, and everything Joseph said came to pass. Even with his family, it came to pass. God used this man. And I close by saying, the Lord said, "He who hears my word and believes not, I do not condemn him. For I did not come to condemn the world. The word that I speak will judge him at the last day." This is the word of God. Let's pray. We stand amazed, O God. We are dumb at this glorious gospel that you have given to men, that you have given to your servants to preach to their fellow brethren. And Lord, we also groan and are burdened inside with some of our people in the callous way that they have treated the Lord Jesus. Like this one that was given a reprieve, went out and forgot Joseph, forgot the revelation, forgot the innocency of this man. Forgot. But, O Lord God, we pray that we would not forget the goodness of God. Wherever He lead us, that we would seek to be obedient to Him. We thank you, O Lord, for giving us yet another day of worship. And as we are dismissed, we are mindful of our brother, our pastor, our colleague, Pastor Malcolm, scholar, and his friendship over the years in labor, in prayers, in giving. We pray that you will be with him and his wife, Igel, and the brethren at Bexon. Lord, we ask that you will give him a fruitful ministry. He, like me, experienced many hardships, many frustrations. But if we pray that he would benefit from what he saw with Joseph, who was there by providence and was there being kept, being protected by you. Pray you will protect our brother and his family, and that you will preserve his ministry until we meet again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let's stand and sing that doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him,
that's it.